Today is the 26th day of July. Welcome. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. Welcome back to the Global Campfire. I'm Brian. It is awesome. Awesome to be here with you today. Grateful to be here with you today as we bring another one of our weeks in for a landing. A safe landing. 52 times we get to do this. And man, I have to count it up, but we're past the halfway point, obviously. So we are well underway on our journey, way out in the deep, as we sail together through the year and through the Bible. I am so grateful for this opportunity to be together again. So let's do what we always do. The reason we are here, to take another step forward on that journey. We are working our way through 2 Chronicles at this point and the book of Romans. 2 Chronicles chapters 17 and 18 today. Jehoshaphat succeeded his father Asa as king and strengthened his position against Israel. He stationed troops in the fortified cities of Judah, in the Judean countryside, and in the cities which Asa had captured in the territory of Ephraim. The Lord blessed Jehoshaphat because he followed the example of his father's early life and did not worship Baal. He served his father's God, obeyed God's commands, and did not act the way the kings of Israel did. The Lord gave Jehoshaphat firm control over the kingdom of Judah, and all the people brought him gifts, so that he became wealthy and highly honored. He took pride in serving the Lord, and destroyed all the pagan places of worship and the symbols of the goddess Asherah in Judah. In the third year of his reign, he sent out the following officials to teach in the cities of Judah: Benhail, Obadiah, Zechariah, Nethanel, and Micaiah. They were accompanied by 9 Levites and 2 priests. The Levites were Shemaiah, Nethaniah, Zebediah, Asael, Shemiramot, Jehonathan, Adonijah, Tobijah, and Tobadonijah. And the priests were Elishama and Jehoram. They took the book of the law of the Lord and went through all the towns of Judah, teaching it to the people. The Lord made all the surrounding kingdoms afraid to go to war against King Jehoshaphat. Some of the Philistines brought Jehoshaphat a large amount of silver and other gifts, and some Arabs brought him 7,700 sheep and 7,700 goats. So Jehoshaphat continued to grow more and more powerful. Throughout Judah, he built fortifications and cities where supplies were stored in huge amounts. In Jerusalem, he stationed outstanding officers according to their clans. Adna was the commander of the troops from the clans of Judah, and he had 300,000 soldiers under him. Second in rank was Jehohanan, with 280,000 soldiers, and third was Amasiah, son of Zikri, with 200,000. Amasiah had volunteered to serve the Lord. The commander of the troops from the clans of Benjamin was Eliada, an outstanding soldier, in command of 200,000 men armed with shields and bows. His second in command was Jehozabad, with 180,000 men, well equipped for battle. These soldiers served the king in Jerusalem, and in addition, he stationed others in the other fortified cities of Judah. When King Jehoshaphat of Judah became rich and famous, he arranged a marriage between a member of his family and the family of King Ahab of Israel. A number of years later, Jehoshaphat went to the city of Samaria to visit Ahab. To honor Jehoshaphat and those with him, Ahab had a large number of sheep and cattle slaughtered for a feast. He tried to persuade Jehoshaphat to join him in attacking the city of Ramoth and Gilead. He asked, "Will you go with me to attack Ramoth?" Jehoshaphat replied, "I am ready when you are, and so is my army. We will join you." Then he added, "But first, let's consult the Lord." So Ahab called in the prophets, about 400 of them, and asked them, "Should I go and attack Ramoth or not?" "Attack it," they answered. "God will give you victory." But Jehoshaphat asked, "Isn't there another prophet through whom we can consult the Lord?" Ahab answered, "There is one more, Micaiah, son of Imlah, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good for me. It's always something bad." "You shouldn't say that," Jehoshaphat replied. So King Ahab called in a court official and told him to go and get Micaiah at once. The two kings, dressed in their royal robes, were sitting on their thrones at the threshing place just outside the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets were prophesying in front of them. One of them, Zedekiah, son of Chenaanah, made iron horns and said to Ahab, "This is what the Lord says. With these you will fight the Syrians and totally defeat them." All the other prophets said the same thing. "March against Ramoth and you will win," they said. "The Lord will give you victory." Meanwhile, the official who had gone to get Micaiah said to him, "All the other prophets have prophesied success for the king, and you had better do the same." But Micaiah answered, "By the living Lord, I will say what my God tells me to." When he appeared before King Ahab, the king asked him, "Micaiah, should King Jehoshaphat and I go and attack Ramoth or not?" "Attack," Micaiah answered. "Of course you'll win. The Lord will give you victory." But Ahab replied, "When you speak to me in the name of the Lord, tell the truth. How many times do I have to tell you that?" Micaiah answered, "I can see the army of Israel scattered over the hills like sheep without a shepherd." And the Lord said, "These men have no leader. Let them go home in peace." Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "I told you that he never prophesies anything good for me. It's always something bad." Micaiah went on, "Now listen to what the Lord says. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne in heaven, with all his angels standing beside him. The Lord asked, 'Who will deceive Ahab so that he will go and get killed at Ramoth?' Some of the angels said one thing and others said something else, until a spirit stepped forward, approached the Lord and said, 'I will deceive him.' 'How?' the Lord asked. The spirit replied, 'I will go and make all of Ahab's prophets tell lies.' The Lord said, 'Go and deceive him. You will succeed.'" And Micaiah concluded, "This is what has happened. The Lord has made these prophets of yours lie to you, but he himself has decreed that you will meet with disaster." Then the prophet Zedekiah went up to Micaiah, slapped his face and asked, "Since when did the Lord's spirit leave me and speak to you?" "You will find out when you go into some back room to hide," Micaiah replied. Then King Ahab ordered one of his officers, "Arrest Micaiah and take him to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Prince Joash. Tell them to throw him in prison and put him on bread and water until I return safely." "If you return safely," Micaiah exclaimed, "then the Lord has not spoken through me." And he added, "Listen, everyone, to what I have said." Then King Ahab of Israel and King Jehoshaphat of Judah went to attack the city of Ramoth and Gilead. Ahab said to Jehoshaphat, "As we go into battle, I will disguise myself, but you wear your royal garments." So the king of Israel went into battle in disguise. The king of Syria had ordered his chariot commanders to attack no one else except the king of Israel. So when they saw King Jehoshaphat, they all thought that he was the king of Israel, and they turned to attack him. But Jehoshaphat gave a shout, and the Lord God rescued him and turned the attack away from him. The chariot commanders saw that he was not the king of Israel, so they stopped pursuing him. By chance, however, a Syrian soldier shot an arrow which struck King Ahab between the joints of his armor. "I'm wounded," he cried out to his chariot driver. "Turn around and pull out of the battle." While the battle raged on, King Ahab remained propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians. At sunset, he died. Romans 9:25-10:13. This is what he says in the book of Hosea. "The people who were not mine, I will call my people. The nation that I did not love, I will call my beloved. And in the very place where they were told, 'You are not my people,' there they will be called the children of the living God." And Isaiah exclaims about Israel, "Even if the people of Israel are as many as the grains of sand by the sea, yet only a few of them will be saved. For the Lord will quickly settle his full account with the world." It is as Isaiah had said before, "If the Lord Almighty had not left us some descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah." So we say that the Gentiles, who were not trying to put themselves right with God, were put right with him through faith, while God's people, who were seeking a law that would put them right with God, did not find it. And why not? Because they did not depend on faith, but on what they did. And so they stumbled over the stumbling stone that the scripture speaks of. "Look, I place in Zion a stone that will make people stumble, a rock that will make them fall. But whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." My friends, how I wish with all my heart that my own people might be saved. How I pray to God for them. I can assure you that they are deeply devoted to God, but their devotion is not based on true knowledge. They have not known the way in which God puts people right with himself, and instead they have tried to set up their own way. And so they did not submit themselves to God's way of putting people right. For Christ has brought the law to an end, so that everyone who believes is put right with God. Moses wrote this about being put right with God by obeying the law. "Whoever obeys the commands of the law will live." But what the scripture says about being put right with God through faith is this: you are not to ask yourself, "Who will go up into heaven?" That is, to bring Christ down. Nor are you to ask, "Who will go down into the world below?" That is, to bring Christ up from death. What it says is this: God's message is near you, on your lips and in your heart. That is, the message of faith that we preach. If you confess that Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from death, you will be saved. For it is by our faith that we are put right with God. It is by our confession that we are saved. The scripture says, "Whoever believes in him will not be disappointed." This includes everyone, because there is no difference between Jews and Gentiles. God is the same Lord of all and richly blesses all who call to him. As the scripture says, everyone who calls out to the Lord for help will be saved. Psalm 20, a prayer for victory. May the Lord answer you when you are in trouble. May the God of Jacob protect you. May he send you help from his temple and give you aid from Mount Zion. May he accept all your offerings and be pleased with all your sacrifices. May he give you what you desire and make all your plans succeed. Then we will shout for joy over your victory and celebrate your triumph by praising our God. May the Lord answer all your requests. Now I know that the Lord gives victory to his chosen king. He answers him from his holy heaven, and by his power gives him great victories. Some trust in their war chariots and others in their horses, but we trust in the power of the Lord our God. Such people will stumble and fall, but we will rise and stand firm. Give victory to the King, O Lord. Answer us when we call. Proverbs 20, 2 and 3. Fear an angry king as you would a growling lion. Making him angry is suicide. Any fool can start arguments. The honorable thing is to stay out of them. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for another week. We are deeply grateful for bringing us this far. And we certainly expect you will continue to be faithful and lead us forward. May we be faithful to you and having eyes to see and ears to hear. And we take to heart the last thing that we read today, which goes so deep. Any fool can start an argument. If we just stop there and look at our lives, any fool can start an argument. The honorable thing is to stay out of them. Show us how our words create our reality. Because we are made in your image, and when you speak, things are created. And when we speak, we cannot call something out of nothing. But when we speak, realities are created. May we pay attention to that. Thank you for this week. We release it. It becomes a part of our history. Becomes a part of the story of us and you and your faithfulness in sustaining us. We love you. We worship you. Thank you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com. That is home base. It is the website. Check it out. Check out the Daily Audio Bible app. Get connected. Stay connected. Check out the community section. This is where to get connected, as we are a global community around a global campfire. So be connected, whether that be through the prayer wall or on social media. Check out the community section. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there that are here for us as we take a journey through the Bible the voyage or adventure of a lifetime, and we're far enough into it now that if we've kept this rhythm, we understand that it is a relationship. It's an ebb and flow, and the Bible can, man, it can come right where we are, look us in the face, not flinch, not look away, and speak truth. And we can ignore it, we can reject it, but we can't say that we weren't told. And it touches everything about us. And so staying connected to that journey in any way that we can is important to us as a community. So do that. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, if the mission to bring the spoken word of God read fresh every day and offered freely to anyone who will listen anywhere on this planet, any time of day or night, and to build community around that rhythm of showing up for each other, for ourselves, if that is life-giving and meaningful to you, thank you for your partnership deeply. There is a link on the homepage at dailyaudiobible.com. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. And as always, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, you can hit the hotline button in the app. That is the little red button up at the top. Or you can dial 877-942-4253. And that's it for today. I'm Brian. I love you. And I'll be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, I'm calling in to pray for the man with the son who is about ready to lose an apartment and can't go back to a homeless shelter, and for his daughter who's threatening to leave the country. Heavenly Father, I put a hedge of protection around this family, and I pray that you would guide this man's next step so that he can do your will. And I pray that you would put somebody in the lives of each of his children that can lead them back to you, Father, and back onto the right path so that you are glorified, Father. Heavenly Father, I pray that now you would bring peace. Let peace wash over this man as he's listening to this message. Give him strength and give him courage through this trial. Speak to him, Father, so that he knows exactly what he needs to do to support each of his children in these trials and what he can do to show his love and to show your love over each of them. Heavenly Father, we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Hi, DAB fam, Jax in Canada, continuing prayers for all of us who own businesses in the DAB family. This week, I came across a video by a woman talking about how she asked her mom for oranges from the store, and her mom brought oranges, but they looked like limes. And so she started questioning her mom and questioning herself, saying, I asked for oranges and these don't look like oranges. And she went and asked her mom, and her mom said, they are oranges. And she cut them and she found they were actually oranges. They just came in a package that she didn't know, wasn't used to. And this reminded her that when we ask God for things, that God will answer and will give us the things that we have asked for, but they may not always look like we thought they should look like. And that should be a lesson to all of us. And that really struck me. And so I am joining my faith with all of you who hear my prayer, us praying for all of us who own businesses, and that is so difficult right now, that we believe that what we have asked of God, he has answered. And I pray that God will help us see how he has answered and help open our eyes to the things he has answered that we may not be seeing or accepting because they don't look like we thought they should look. So all the requests we have made of God, of our businesses, of finances, of customers that he has answered, may he help us see those answers and that we could praise him for the good works he has done. Thank you, family, for praying for all of us. Continue to pray. And I bless you all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Hi, I'm calling to request prayer for my granddaughter. Her name is Annabelle, and she has been having thoughts of suicide. And I am asking for prayer that God will turn her thoughts to life, and that he will take away all thoughts of despair and hopelessness and thoughts of destruction and suicide in Jesus' precious name, and that she will be completely free from these thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. This is Rainbow of Hope calling from New York. I just want to reach out. I want to say first thanks to everyone prayers. I called in. I was really traumatized when I witnessed the death of my children, Poppy. And I am just reaching out. I'm way behind because I'm in another country. And I want to say I'm so deeply. It just touched me for the prayer request for the grandmom who ran over her baby. And I know it's nothing that anyone can say right now to even create what you've been through. But I can just say from what the trauma I felt from seeing my dog got hit has nothing compared to what you're going through. Nothing. And I know how I felt. I know how devastated I felt. So my heart, my plea is for you right now that God will reach you. He will touch you. He will comfort you. He's not the author of these things that begin, but he sure knows how to end it with praise and glory. And it will take some time for your healing. But know and know that God is with you. Know that God knows all things. He's Alpha and Omega, and he knows this thing. And he will comfort you. And I'm comforting this because I know that even though I closed my eyes many times and I could have seen it then, even from then to now, it has gotten a lot better. So this is Rainbow of Hope telling you there is hope, there is peace, there is a little bit, there is joy, there is comfort knowing that God is in all of this. Stay blessed. Reach out to God. Cry out to him. Every time you think about it, just...